Thank you very much, Mark, for the welcome to be part of the service this morning, although we do it in a different way than we did when I was here just a couple of weeks ago. So I want to bid everybody good morning, and we trust you're well wherever you are, and as Mark said, I trust it will not be long until you're able to get back into the church building again. But I'm here this morning and to share with you, and again in the evening time. And I want to read from God's Word in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and reading from verse number 26 through to 38. Chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. And the angel departed from her. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just pray as we come to the word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your day, and for all it means to us. We thank you, Father, for your word and the preciousness of your word to our hearts as we live in this sinful and evil and troubled world. We pray that, Father, as we turn to your word this morning, indeed that we might receive a blessing. We pray that we might be blessed, Lord, by the Lord's presence, and that you would be pleased to speak to our hearts this morning from your word. May the Holy Spirit lead us in our meditation. And we pray that we might hear your voice. We pray that we might, O God, be taken up with your word, Lord. And we ask, O God, that you'll do us good today and bless us now while we wait on thee, for Christ's sake. Amen. Here we are at the beginning of December. And of course, December is that month when everybody is focused in on the one thing, focused in on Christmas. And of course, Christmas means different things to different people. It means for some people a time of work or holidays. It means to others parties and presents and shopping. But to those of us who know the Lord and who love the Lord, Christmas is the time and the season when we think specially of that time when God sent his Son into this world to be our Savior. And so Christmas to us is special for that, for those particular reasons. I'm sure that many of you, maybe as grandparents or as parents, have gone to the Nativity play that's held in December by the schools. Maybe your grandchildren or children have been attending. I don't know whether that will happen this year, but that's the normal thing. I can even remember as far back as when I was a boy at primary school, and I have some recollection of being asked to stand in as one of the shepherds on that nativity play. And you know, of course, in the story of the Saviour's birth, there's different characters. There's Mary and Joseph. They would be the main two characters. There's the shepherds. There's the angel who came. There's the choir of angels. And all those things go to provide the nativity play. Mary, of course, was probably, apart from the Lord Jesus, the child, she was the main character. And as we come this morning, on this Sunday that leads us up to Christmas Day, I want to think with you in this message at the Virgin Mary. I want to look at this young woman whom God used for to fulfill his purpose and for his glory. My, she was the one through whom God sent his Son into the world. So she had a very important part to play in the plan of God. And in this message, we want to look at this young woman, and we want to consider one or two things about her, and then we want to try to apply them to our own hearts. And I want to take three headings just to think about Mary this morning. I want to look at the comfort that Mary received. And then I want to look at the child that Mary conceived. And then I want to think about the courage that Mary showed. So those are the headings that we want to deal with this morning. You know, God uses many things to fulfill his purpose and will. Sometimes he used angels. Find them both in the Old Testament and the New, bringing God's message and ministering as God would have them do. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, that he rode on the colt of an ass down into Jerusalem. Remember, he said to his disciples, "Go where two ways meet, and you'll find an ass tied there. Loose him and bring him." And if anybody says to you, "Why loose ye this ass? You shall say to them, "Because the Lord hath need of him." And the Lord used that little donkey to ride down into Jerusalem at that particular time. On another occasion, he used six water pots of stone when there was no wine at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. He used the crowing of a cock to speak to Peter and to convict Peter of his wrongdoing and of his sin when he denied the Lord with oaths and curses. But you know, friends, the thing that God uses most of all is human beings. God has so planned his will and purpose that he uses human beings. God could do without any one of us. He's not dependent on us, but God has, it has so pleased him to use us. And we find here that he used a human being to bring his Son into the world. We find in verse 26 and 27 here, the messenger and the message. It tells us that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel was telling Mary, he was bringing this message to Mary, and he was telling her the work that God had for her to do. And it says here in verse 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be." My, if an angel appeared in your bedroom or in your living room, out of the blue, you turned around and there was an angel, it would startle you, it would shock you, it maybe even would scare you, even as it did to Mary. And we find here that the angel said to Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So we see here that the angel, first of all, he seeks to comfort Mary. He seeks to encourage her. He seeks to help her to face this great task that God is asking her to fulfill. You see, the first thing is this. He said, the Lord is with thee. Well, that was a great word of comfort, wasn't it? If you're asked to do something and you feel daunted by it, just to know that the Lord is with you is a great help. He assured her of God's presence. You know, brethren and sisters, today, it's great to know that the Lord is with you, that the Lord is with us. Because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But we just need reminded about that from time to time, that the Lord is with us. He assured her of God's presence. Blessed art thou among women. He spoke to her about God's power. Thou hast found favour with God. He showed her God's blessing. He spoke to her about God's presence. He talked to her about God's blessing, because the thing that she was asked to do would not only be a blessing to her, but it would be a blessing to the whole world. And then, he assured her of the power that was upon her, because the thing that God wanted her to do, the power of God would enable her to do the task that God wanted her to do. This was a word of comfort for Mary. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And you know, friends, we all need comfort and encouragement from time to time. And it's great when the word of the Lord comes, maybe through your own reading, maybe through the ministry of the word, maybe in some other way, and you know that the Lord is with you and that you've found favour with God. Now, how had Mary found favour with God? I would suggest to you that Mary found favour with God in the sense that she was a chosen vessel. She was a chosen vessel. You see, out of all the young women in Israel, in the part where she lived, God chose her. He could have chosen, I'm sure, there was hundreds or even thousands of young women like her. But God chose her. My, what a privilege. And you know, friends, those of us who know the Lord, sometimes God asks us to do things. Maybe you think they're small things or insignificant jobs. But my, what a privilege it is for God just to choose you and to give you that little work, maybe in a Sunday school class or in a Bible class or as a deacon or as a worker of some kind. My, when the Lord of glory chooses you and calls you to do his work. So we see here that she found favour with God in the fact that she was a chosen vessel. And then the second way in which she found favour with God is that she was a clean vessel. She was a clean vessel. Because the scripture makes it clear, without any doubt, no matter what some of the modernists would try to tell us, that she was a virgin. Behold, I shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. He sent this angel to this young woman who was a virgin. She was a virgin. There was a purity about this girl's life. This girl was seeking to live according to God's ordinances. And she was espoused to a young man by the name of Joseph, but they were just in that engaged state, as we would know today in our culture. But Mary was a virgin. Her life found favor with God because, you see, she needed to be a virgin in order for the Son of God to come into this world. It couldn't be a man or woman that God used. It had to be just a woman, because if it had been a man and woman, the child would have been born in sin just the same way as you and I were born in sin. So we see that this young woman, she was a chosen vessel, and she was a clean vessel. And you know, she was a channel that God used. God used her to bring his Son into the world. Think of the blessing that brought to others through her. Here was a young woman who found favor with God. Brethren and sisters, we stop there for a moment or two and we ask ourselves the question, I wonder, do I find favor with God? Does God look at me and does he find favor? Why does he find favor with my walk, my Christian walk? You remember that Enoch walked with God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Wonder, does God find favor in the words that we speak? By the words that we speak, friends, remember when the Lord Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so the disciples said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and some Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And Jesus colored them and put them into a corner, and he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." My Peter got it right. "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And you know, Peter's words pleased God. My dear friends, sometimes maybe the things that we say don't please God, but I wonder, does our words please God? Remember the psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and our my Redeemer." Does our work find favor with God? Does our worship find favor with God? Now the angel says, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." You know, when God's presence is with you and God's blessing is upon you, and when God's power is working through you, there's no need to fear because you found favor with God. So we see, first of all, here the comfort that Mary received. The angel comes with this news, what God wants her to do, and it's quite clear that she was full of trepidation, and the angel says, "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God." Second thing I want you to see as we look at the Virgin Mary this morning, this young woman that God used, is the child that Mary conceived. As I've already intimated, that this child was conceived without a man being involved. The child was none other than the Son of God. It says here in verse 35 of our chapter when the angel answered Mary when she said, "How shall this be?" He said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Be called the Son of God. You know, that's what's known as the miracle, or the miraculous conception. The miraculous conception. The birth of Jesus Christ was a miracle. because the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and implanted divine seed within her womb. And the angel, he then begins to tell Mary about the child in verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. If you take the word conceive and bring forth a son, we see the humanity of the child. The eternal Son of God became man to do the Father's will and to fulfill the plan of redemption that had been planned out in eternity. My deity had to become humanity, but the wonder of it all is that when the Lord Jesus came into this world through the virgin birth, that humanity and deity was brought together in one glorious personality. So we see the humanity. Remember way back in the prophecy of Isaiah, 700 or 800 years before Christ was born, under the inspiration of the Spirit, the prophet prophesied and he said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And of course that word Emmanuel, it means God with us. We see not only the humanity of the child, but we see the mystery of the child. And then here in verse 32, he shall be great. And that's the majesty of the child. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And of course, the Son of the Highest is the Son of God. And that's the deity of the child. And it goes on to say, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And if you take the word throne, that tells us about the authority of the child, of his father David. That reminds us of the royalty of the child, because he was of the lineage of David. He came from the royal tribe, the tribe of Judah. And this was scripture right from the Old Testament being fulfilled. It goes on to say in verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And that lies ahead in the future. He came to be the king of the Jews, but the Jews put him on a cross. They rejected him. But I want to tell you, he's coming a second time to this world to set up his earthly kingdom, and he shall reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you see the supremacy of this child and of his kingdom there shall be of no end. And my, that's the eternality of the child. You know, friends, if you look at this closely, what the angel said about the child here to Mary in these verses, there are mighty things, there are mighty truths in these verses. I haven't time to go into them this morning in great detail, but just let me touch on them. Some of these things, some of the things in verse 32 have already been fulfilled. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Many of the things at the end of verse 32 and verse 33 have yet to be fulfilled. And they will be fulfilled in a future day when Jesus comes. Let's just focus in on one of these things that the angel said to Mary about the child that was born. It says here in verse 32, he shall be great. It says, you know, you're going to conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. And he goes on to tell her here, he shall be great. This child that you're carrying, this child is going to be born, he shall be great. You know, there's a lovely little study. It's good for your soul as you take that. The child that was conceived, the child that was born at Bethlehem, now was born to be great. And we see his greatness throughout the scriptures. Remember in the little book of Titus, Paul was writing to Titus, and he encouraged him about the the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. My, when you think of His deity and think of Him as God, and remember the child that was born was God manifest in flesh. Remember the prophet in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The child in the manger was the Mighty God. And my, this child shall be great because he's God. You know, friends, when you think of God, you think of greatness. When you think of the love of God, it's great love. When you think of the grace of God, God's grace is great grace. When you think of His mercy, the mercy of God, my, when we called upon Him and asked God to have mercy upon Him, upon us, when we cried out for salvation, my, He showed great mercy on us sinners. And my dear friends, when we think of His power, it's great power. Great God and our Savior. My, we have a great Savior this morning who has saved us from the penalty of sin. You remember in Hebrews 13 and 20, God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd. He's a great shepherd. This child that was born to be great. And we have a great shepherd this morning who looks after us, who leads us, who provides for us, who blesses us. And of course we think of His great sacrifice. The other sacrifices had to be repeated. They had to be repeated time and time again. But His sacrifice will never have to be repeated because He has dealt with sin totally for all eternity. And of course, my, in Hebrews 4, the writer talks about our great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest this morning. The child that was conceived in the womb of Mary, its mother. My, he was born to be great. He shall be great. A great God. A great Savior. A great shepherd. My, a great sacrifice. A great high priest. We see here, dear friends, the comfort Mary received. The angel came to comfort her and assure her. You see, the child that Mary conceived, he was born to be great. And the third thing I want you to see this morning is the courage Mary showed. When the angel came to her, in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel, remember, it said, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. And Mary says, how shall this be? Man, this was a very sensible question. How shall this be, she says, seeing I know not a man? And what she was saying was this, I don't know a man in the sense in which husband and wife know each other in their intimacy, in their marriage. I know not a man. I'm a single girl. How shall this be? And the angel answered her and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And what he was saying was that the Holy Ghost would implant divine seed within her womb, and the conception would take place, and that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Yes. My dear friends, the angel explained that it would be of God. This is the miraculous conception that brought about the miracle of the incarnation. Miraculous conception. and the miracle of the incarnation. It was all of God. And Mary knew all this. She knew that she would be misunderstood when the news got out that she was going to have a baby. She was expecting a baby, and she wasn't married yet to Joseph. And she would tell them what had happened, and she would be misunderstood. Maybe even by her own family. And she would be criticized, and there would be gossip, and she would be talked about. But the wonderful thing about Mary is this, that she was willing to bow to the will of God. She was submissive. She says in verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." You see her submissiveness. Here's this young lass, and God has asked her to do a tremendous thing. He's asked her to do something that will be difficult, something that she'll be misunderstood concerning. And Mary had the courage, and she had the faith to do what God wanted her to do. Her faith in God's will and in God's word, because she knew God's word, gave her that courage. And you know, brothers and sisters, this morning, God sometimes asks us to do, may ask us to do difficult things. He may ask us to do things that maybe make demands of our life. He may ask you to do something and maybe you'll be misunderstood by others and criticized. Have you that faith this morning and courage to be submissive to God's word and to bow to his will? My, we could learn from Mary, couldn't we? Someone said this, the easiest thing in the world to do is to do nothing, because anybody can do nothing. The next easiest thing to do is to criticize others for what they're doing. But it takes faith and courage to do what God wants you to do. Mary found favor with God. God used her to bring his son into the world to be our savior. And she was submissive to God's will and God's word. I trust this morning we might just meditate on those thoughts. Might think of the great work that this young lass did. And may we come to the place where we know that we've found favor with God. And when God asks us to do something, or calls us to do something, may we be submissive to his word and his will. And may we rejoice this morning in the blessing that has come to our lives, to our homes, to our nation, the blessing that has come to the world, because Mary was prepared to bow to the will of God, and the Lord Jesus came to this world to be its Savior. May Christmas be precious as we think of those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we're able to learn this morning. We thank you for your servant, Mary. Thank you, Lord, for her submissiveness. Thank you for her willingness. Thank you for her purity. Thank you for her life that you were able to take. And we thank you that from her came your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks, O God, for all your blessings. And we ask you now to bless each of your people throughout this day and throughout the Christmas season, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.